This is Doug Miller. What's the upshot of the whole point of the book of Job? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best. And he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we will begin today with the 40th chapter of Job. We have kind of skipped over some of the parts here, but I trust that we have hit the salient points and that this has been a blessing to you, as it certainly has been to us. So bring your Bibles, come along, open up to Job 40, and let's see what the point of it all was. I think that we can get to it, and once again, as you've heard me say before, the point is not why bad things happen to good people. That is the most superficial possible way of looking at it. There is much more to it than that. So bring your Bibles, come along, call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And we need your help in this regard. How can you help? Real simple. Doesn't cost you a dime. Doesn't cost you anything difficult. Just write Dialogue down on your prayer list and pray for Dialogue. We need your prayers. If you are saved, if you are one of the Lord's people, you have an interest in this business. And you can take Dialogue before the Lord, and you can pray for Dialogue, and you can pray for us. Pray for me. Pray that the Lord will open my mouth to speak the truth. Pray that our enemy will be bound and not be able to hamper or hinder what we are doing. Pray for those who listen that their hearts and minds might be open to receive the word of God. Pray for Dialogue. Tell others about us. You are our advertisers. You're the only advertisers we have and the only ones we're going to have. Tell others to listen in. And, of course, as I always say, we'd love to hear from you. Sit down, write us a letter, tell us where you are, tell us the broadcast is reaching you, tell us where you agree with us, tell us where you disagree with us. Ask questions, ask for any help or assistance that we can give you. We would be happy to do it, and no strings attached. Our mailing address, Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your mailing or keep your writing materials handy there. Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. Now, if you would like to email, that's okay too. You can do that. It's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's for those of you who are in this information age and who just don't like to write letters anymore with hand and pen, and I understand all that. That's why we've got the email. So email us. Or you can pull down our webpage. That's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. And you will see a very, becoming picture of me, as becoming a picture as you're apt to see of me. Let's put it that way. I'm nothing to write home about, but there's a picture of me on there, and I look very happy because I am, you know. It's a wonderful thing to be saved and on your way home. You can pull down the webpage, and we've got many of the broadcasts up there you can listen to. No strings attached to any of this, all there for your use. If you wish to call and talk to me, that's fine too. Be delighted to talk to you. And the telephone number is area code 405-535-9089. You will get a recording. Leave a message, and I'll get back with you. Okay. What's the upshot of all this business? What is God really doing with Job? Well, I can tell you what God is doing with Job, and I don't mind telling you. And if you're out there saying, well, that's how you operate, Miller, you're right and everyone else is wrong. Well, that's not always the case, but I am pretty confident that I am right in this case. And once again, I have said it many times, and here it comes again. If you are talking about the suffering of Job and why bad things happen to good people, you are revealing a very superficial knowledge of this book. Let me tell you the upshot of it, and then we will read some of the 40th. So we've, if you, now, once again, we've skipped over some of this. We have got chapters 38, 39, and 40, in which God is really answering Job. And even down into 41. So, I mean, there's a lot of language in here, a lot of things that God asked Job, and Job has no answer for him. Now, we see in chapter 40, very briefly, Job does answer the Lord. And he, his answer to the Lord reveals that he is beginning to get the point. He's beginning to see it. But let me tell you now what this is really all about. If you've got a pencil or a pen and paper, you might write this down. You might tell someone else about this. I want you to imagine, and I'm going to do some paraphrasing here now, and I want you, and I'm going to be paraphrasing what I see God saying here. And this can be a little bit scary because I don't want to be saying things for the Lord that the Lord didn't intend. But I do wish to justify God and condemn men when that is, you know, I'm not going to condemn God and justify men. Listen to this. God speaking to Job. Job, listen to me. Do I love you? I love you. Am I concerned about you? I am concerned about you. Do I intend all good things for you? Well, Job, if I intend good things for the wild animals, if I have put together a universe that is orderly and follows rules and regulations, and I have done this and set it up in such a way to support life and to bring life along and to keep people alive, if I have, you know, given the rain and the sunshine and the stars and the wind, if I have done all of this, Job, don't you think that I am concerned about you? Do you think my concern is for the donkeys and the pelicans and not for you? I have given good things. Back in chapter 39, God talks about the wild goats. He talks about the unicorns, the wild ass. He talks about the hawk. All of these. And, you know, I think of our Lord saying that, you know, the fowl, look at the fowls of the air. They don't go out and reap and gather into barns. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Look at the grass of the field, the lily of the field. Why, Solomon in all his glory wasn't arrayed like one of these as beautiful as this. Tomorrow, this is going to be cut down and thrown into the oven. Don't you think God is concerned about you? I can, you know, I cannot tell you how often I have heard people say in so many words, I don't think God cares at all. I may have said it myself at some time or another. But listen, God does care, and God does love Job. But, now I'm going to go on, I'm going to do some talking for the Lord now. Here we have God implying, at least, I think, Job, I am running a universe here. I am upholding the whole universe. And I am running it, and it is running right. I have never lost control, and I will never lose control. And whatever it, when it's all over, when it's all said and done, when all of the dust has settled, and all everything has been called in and wrapped up, all of this universe and every creature in this universe will bow the knee to me, and they will declare that I am righteous. Now, if you are one of those who have been taught out there and are being taught that God's purpose in this earth and in this universe is the salvation of men, if that's his main purpose, I'll pray for you. That is not God's main purpose. That is a purpose. But the main purpose, the main thing God is doing is glorifying himself. And it is not the same as saying, you know, if I'm out here trying to glorify myself. If I were doing that, then you would say, and rightly so, well, this is the most arrogant, self-centered individual I've ever met. And you'd be right. It is not the same with God. God is, and he has shown this in his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who humbled himself and took the low place and went down lower than any man ever went. God knows humility and he knows how to be humble. But God has every right to be exalted and glorified. And God, I believe, would say to Job, Job, I am running a universe here. And whether or not you know it or understand it, I am doing it right. And I am doing it in the way that it should be done and in the only right way that it can be done. Job, you are a part of this universe. And I love you and I'm concerned about you. But Job, you're only a part. It is not all about you. I have got a lot of things here that I'm looking out for, and you're only one of them. And you fit in, but you must fit in. You must fit into the place where I have put you. Now, I'm sure that all of you who are listening to me have probably heard the old saying, you know, that says, no man's ever totally useless. You can always serve as a bad example. Yeah, you've probably heard that, and that's good and funny and ha-ha. Yes, okay. Let me ask you something. This book of Job, is this an important book? Oh, yes. What if we didn't have the book of Job? Where would we be? Well, I think we would be missing something that is very important. As a matter of fact, Job is quoted in the New Testament. James talks about Job in the book of James. Ezekiel talks about Job in the Old Testament and uses him as an example. And Job is a book that has been a great blessing to me. And as we have gone through this book, I hope it's been a blessing to you. Now, what if Job hadn't gone through everything that he went through here? What if he had just gone along being blessed and happy and he got everything he wanted and he never lost anything and he never suffered, he never went through any pain? There would really be no reason to write about Job. And there would be no reason for us to read and think on these things. Yes, Job suffered. Yes, Job had to be broken. Yes. Job had to learn something about his own righteousness and his self-righteousness. Yes, at the end of this experience, Job was better than ever, and God did indeed bless him. And yes, we have been blessed because Job suffered. Now, is that how God does it? Well, I want you to take a look at his Son. His Son went forth to a place called Golgotha, where he was crucified, where he suffered as no one has ever suffered, where he suffered the judgment fires of Almighty God, where he cried out, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" What if he hadn't done that? Then we today would be utterly lost. There would be no salvation for people like me, a sinner of the Gentiles. No way for me to come into the blessing of God. No way for my sins to be dealt with. as shameful as it is, I can only bless and thank God. And when I say shameful, I mean shameful that it had to happen because of my evil and my sinfulness. But I can only thank God for the suffering of his son. What about Job? Yes, I can thank God that Job went through this too. And I believe Job would thank God that he went through it. Now let's read some of what Job says here. Let's pick it up in chapter 40, verse 1. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, "Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it." Now we get Job saying something. Job has been listening. He listened through chapter 38. He listened through chapter 39. He listened as the 40th chapter opened. And now Job says, "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no farther. I have been talking about things I knew nothing about," says Job. Imagine this man. Here is a man that God called righteous at the first of the book. Here is a man who has been all along, as we've been reading through this book, contending that he is righteous. And now what does he say? He has come into the presence of God, and he says, "I am vile." You know, he's not the only one to do this. There was a man named Daniel. You can read about him in the book of Daniel. Who, when he came into the presence of God, he said, "My comeliness was turned into ugliness." He lost all strength and fell down like a dead man at his feet. We have John the Apostle doing the same thing back in the first chapter of Revelation. We have this with James and John and Peter. At the Transfiguration, on the Mount of Transfiguration, in the 17th chapter of Matthew. You may think of yourself as righteousness, but you come into the presence of the living God, and you're whatever you think of as righteous, that will be swept away, because when seen in the righteousness of God, what can I say? All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's the word of God, and that's the truth. We've got the Apostle Paul, who thought of himself as righteous. Well, God broke him down on the road to Damascus, didn't he, and blinded him. And Paul was a very humble man after that. It changed him. Here we have Job, and let's see some more of the Lord's answer to Job. Once Job says, "I am vile, I have nothing to say." We have Job being confronted again out of the whirlwind by the Lord. "Gird up thy loins now like a man." Same thing God said back in the 39th chapter of Job. "Gird up thy loins. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me, wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous?" Do you understand? I hope all of you understand this. If you are out there and you are not willing to accept what God says about you, if you are saying, "I'm a pretty good guy, I really don't need a Savior, I don't know what you keep talking about when you keep talking about how Jesus went into death and he bore my sins, and you know, I didn't need any of that, and I didn't." If you are doing that, do you know what you're doing? Whether or not you realize it, you're justifying yourself and condemning God. And you will never be saved in that way. Salvation begins when I condemn myself and justify God. I agree with God about what he says. And this little word confession in the New Testament, homologos, means to say with. To say with whom? To say with God. To say what with God? To agree with God about what he says. Salvation begins by bowing the knee to God, I begin with agreeing with him. He says that I am a sinner and that I need a Savior. I agree with that. He says that his Son is the one who died for me, and this is the only way I can be saved. I agree with that. Otherwise, what am I doing? Calling God a liar? How could anyone do something like that? And yet that's what Job's been doing, and that's what all self-righteous people are doing. And all unsaved people, one way or the other, are guilty of self-righteousness. And if you don't believe it, just listen to them. Listen to what they say. You can, you know, lay their sins before them. What do they start doing? They try to justify themselves by pointing out other people's shortcomings. Well, there are too many hypocrites in the church. Oh, shut up. I don't want to hear that. Of course there are hypocrites in the church. What's that got to do with you? Look at this. God says, will you condemn me? Hast thou an arm like God, in verse 9, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath. And behold, everyone that is proud and abase him. Ooh, abase him. Look on everyone that is proud and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together, and bind their faces in secret. Then will I also confess unto thee that thou thine own right hand, thine own right hand rather can save thee. Oh, can you? Are you out there thinking you can save yourself? Is that what you are doing, whoever you are? Do you really imagine that somehow by being good and by keeping rules and regulations that you can save yourself? Do you really imagine that in your own righteousness you can stand before God? Let me tell you something. There's nothing to that. You will hit hell harder than a ton of bricks. You reject what God has done for you. You turn aside the sacrifice of his Son, and what is left for you? Look at Job. Job begins by trying to argue his righteousness with God. And look, there is no way that he can argue his righteousness with God. God is righteous. And he, Job, has to learn it. I would like to, in the time that we have left, jump clear ahead to chapter 42 of Job. And let's see what Job says in verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Yeah, he knows it now, doesn't he? He, for all of his wisdom and for all his supposed righteousness, didn't really know much about God at all when he started. How about you who are listening to me? Do you know the Almighty God? This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.